It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 26 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Big week for basketball, guys.
Big week for basketball. A lot of seeding, you know, kind of shaking out, and be interesting to talk about some of that.
Yep, we're running into the end. I talked to some of the people here, and they're, you know, we're looking at playing last home games. Week or two left in the season, and it's just going to be a mad dash to the end, I believe. But let's start out talking about the Leopards and Lady Leopards. Tony, tough week for both of those teams.
Yeah, only six games, one win out of the week, and that was Friday with the girls playing Hope. We are not mathematically out of the girls. You know, we could still get in the four hole. But it's going to take some doing, especially with the games we have left.
Yeah.
Lost to Arkadelphia 45-37. The girls then lost to Magnolia 50-39 in a game that was probably closer than that score indicates. It was 26-25 at one point. And then the really got on track Friday night against Hope 58-29. Boys, they're having a tough go, man, because they are so depleted. Sam Graham has an injury. He was – our leading scorer, yeah. Sam Huddleston.
Leading rebounder also.
Yeah. And then Sam Huddleston, probably, you know, Mr. Sixth Man. I mean, comes right in and gives you great minutes, great defense, both hurt. They had a tough week. They lost to Arkadelphia 61-30, Magnolia 86-18. And if you wonder how a game gets to 86-18.
I'll tell you in just a minute.
I was wondering.
But I will tell you in just a minute. But what's interesting about that is we led that game 5-2.
We did.
Yeah.
We had 11 points at the end of the first period.
Yeah.
And then lost to Hope 69-43. Interesting enough, those are the top three teams in our conference, and we drew them all in 1 week
right. With
a depleted roster.
And we've got to play this week. It doesn't really get any easier for the Leopards.
No, it doesn't.
We get to go for a rematch at Magnolia, which is always a really fun place to play. Never, you know, and so let's talk about Magnolia just a little bit. And one of the things that, you know, you were there, and I got into it a little bit with a guy after the game because I failed to understand how you press teams till you dehumanize them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when teams are down, they got their best players hurt. And that coach, he knew that. You know, they know that stuff.
He had to know it.
Yeah, they know that. And you know, what we saw, and if you disagree with me, I would love for you to say so, but what we saw is he should have been playing the end of his bench by the end of the first quarter.
Well, I will say, you know, and I'm nobody's coach, and I say that just about every episode, but that's what I would have done.
Yeah.
I would have really – my starters would have probably played half the ball game, and they would have not all played together. They would have played maybe so I could get some flow out of my JV kids.
Right.
I'd have one starter on the floor. But that's
and not press 94 feet either.
Yeah, but that's not what he chose to do.
No, he pressed 94 feet the entire game. Even when he put his subs in.
Since you're on that rant, can I touch on it in an unrelated game?
Sure.
I was at a Pee Wee tournament Saturday and watched a team get a nice lead on the other team. So they took their starters out. Like the other team elected to leave their starters in and start pressing the team that subbed, trying to catch back up. Kind of the same thing. I mean, just concede the game.
Yeah.
Well, if somebody's showing you mercy,
yes,
extend grace, you know.
that's exactly right. And I, you know, you can say watching the Razorbacks against the LSU Saturday, they did the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, they never quit pressing. They put some subs in, put their walk-ons in because they were up 25 points. We started pressing them. Well, why?
Well, do you guys think that some of those old standards, I mean, I'm 59, some of those old sportsmanship rules, so to say, you think, well, it's obvious they're going away quickly, but do you think they even apply today?
I would say my easy answer is no. One of the things I would say about it is I think, and I understand, Magnolia, one of the best teams in the state, boys basketball,
maybe
4A.
Maybe the best in 4A.
Yeah, maybe the best in 4A, even one of the best in the state. One of the things you got to realize is I'm going to use the term lazy. I think that the people that make the decisions, which is basically the staff of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the AAA, are lazy, and when they see this score, that's a big deal to them. But they don't look at what happened. They wouldn't look and see that. They don't delve deep enough into it to see that, Magnolia was up by 35 at the end of the first quarter. I'm just using that for an example, and then played their subs the rest of the way. They don't ever look at that. All they look at is a score. So you got to have a big score. If you only beat DeQueen by 18 points and you played your fourth string the whole time, they're going to view that as they'll probably knock them down a spot in the standings. And I think all of it's kind of like politics and everything else has become about these little blurbs. You know, there's no story anymore. You just see Magnolia 86, DeQueen 18. Well, that was a great game for them. Well, in my opinion, it was not a great game for them.
Right.
And you know, to talk about it a little bit, them just a little bit more, we get to go down there Friday. And here's something that I don't like, and it doesn't just happen there. We see it all the time, is if you're going to have two sides, let's have a home side and a visitor side. and make them sit on those sides. And you've been there, you've seen it, right? I mean, it's very, very disenchanting. I don't know that's not the right word. But, I mean, you never, like we were, I don't mind mentioning, we were at Arkadelphia, and there were people yelling, and we thought it was our fans, but it wasn't. It was their fans.
Yeah.
Because they're sitting on our side, what I consider the visitor side, and so... I don't know. I just think that I think they're asking for trouble when they let people do that. I think it causes it. There's a high potential for there to be issues, and they could control that very easily, and they don't. And that bothers me. And I'm easily bothered. I know.
I agree with that. We went to a ball game earlier this year, and I can't remember where, because doing the broadcast, we usually have a pretty good vantage point, y'all.
Yeah,
can appreciate that. And they told me after the game that some of their kids, two sides to the gym, asked some of our fans to move because they were in their student section, which was on the visitor side of the gym. Just asking for trouble.
Yeah, I think so too. But back to the basketball, I guess I've editorialized enough on my thoughts about that. We can talk about refereeing later if you'd like to.
We should have some of those in here as a guest.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Well, Benny Ester is a really good basketball official, my opinion. I think he's a really good basketball official. I think he's better than the very, very, very most. Maybe he'd come in and talk to us.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe we could get him to. Just to throw a little thought in there, we had a referee this last week that was still in high school, in a high school basketball game.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. I hadn't told you that, but we did.
Now's
you know which one. You know which one it was, though.
I can, by the process of deduction, yes, yeah. I can figure out which one it was.
Yeah. a big game.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah, it was a big game for us. That's right.
Yeah. But anyway, and the thing about that is, not saying he may be better than 99% of the officials. It's just hard to put somebody that young in that situation.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of pressure. We all know that. Yeah. Yeah, we see it and we know it. And it's just, I don't understand that. If it's that hard to get officials, go back to two.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. And I try to be look at things through objective eyes, but no more fouls than they're calling and as much contact as they're allowing and as physical as the game has got, just go back to two because three ain't helping pick up the all the contact that's on the floor. Or if it is, they're ignoring it.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of joked during the game that they changed the rule in Arkansas that you get one shove, and then if the person doesn't walk, then they'll call the second shove.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, but that's what it looks like. I mean, we're close to the floor a couple of times, and it's not just us. It's both teams. You know, people are there on the out-of-bounds line in front of the bench. They obviously get shoved and either walk or go out-of-bounds, and they call walk or out-of-bounds instead of the foul.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so somebody had to explain that to me to where I could understand it.
Yeah, and I don't know. But going back to the Leopards just for a second, talk about the Lady Leopards. We talked a little bit about them, but very, very, very difficult week for them this week.
Yes.
They get the pleasure of going to Nashville and playing the Scrapperettes Tuesday night. Probably, if not the best, one of the two best teams in 4A in the state of Arkansas.
There's a good possibility that we are going to see the best boys team and the best girls team in 4A this week.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yeah.
That's a tough week.
It is a tough week. It is a tough week. And you know, our good friend, Paul Dean coaches over there, and
he'll have a place for us.
Yeah,
they take care of us.
Yeah, they do take care of us, and you know, he's done an excellent job with those girls.
Absolutely,
I'm just like Jim Cross. You want to just put the headphones down and watch them play. They're really good. They know what to do, and they do it.
Yeah,
you know, and that's the thing. Fun to watch them.
Unlike some of the teams we play, I mean, Magnolia, super athletic.
Yeah.
Ashdown, to some extent, super athletic.
Yeah.
To me, this is a compliment, and I hope nobody from Nashville takes this as a slight.
They will.
They're. I love those girls. There's some girls in that team.
I just meant fan base.
Okay. Well, not quite as athletic, but heart and hustle and knowledge of the game, all over it, and Coach Dean and Coach Burgess deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Knowledge of the game and fundamentals, hands down.
Yes,
they know it.
There's a difference between being athletic and being a good basketball player.
I totally agree with that may have been the best way to say it.
Yeah, and they're great basketball players. While they may not be quite as athletic, they know the fundamentals of the game, and they understand. And not only do they understand it, they do it.
Yeah. Our Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week, Ellie Morphew, an incredible 43 rebounds last week, 14.3 rebounds per game. And had 19 in one of the games, right?
Yeah, 16, 19, and then the last game, 8.
Yeah, but she played about a half.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So just an outstanding rebound. She's been doing that all year long. She averages over 10 rebounds a game, you know, and she's had a couple other times, 18 once, 17 once, you know. So she comes up. I mean, she's just a.
If you've not seen Ellie, the incredible thing is she's not 6'1".
No,
she's more like 5'6", 5'7", right?
I don't know that she's five. I'd say 5'6".
Yeah. So I mean, she's getting rebounds because of heart and because of hustle and because of position.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, I mean, we've talked about this before, but Dennis Rodman, like, in her ability to know where the ball's coming off the rim.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I thought a lot about this after we realized that Ellie had that many rebounds this week. You know, Dennis Rodman is never going to get the accolades that Michael Jordan got. But a rebound does a couple of things. One, it gives your offense another opportunity. And two, it keeps another team's offense from having another opportunity. And you do that 19 times in a ball game, that has a huge impact on the ball game. Oh. I don't care if you don't score a point. Dennis Rodman didn't care if he scored a point or not, but he took a lot of pride in those rebounds.
Yeah.
And now he's a Hall of Famer because of it.
Yep, that's exactly right. So anything else on the Leopards, Tony?
No, I think we can move on.
Okay, well, we can go on to the Ashdown Panthers now. And the Panthers sit at 0-14, 0-10 in the conference. This last week, they got to play Nashville and Magnolia, and
it'd have been great to talk to Jim this week.
Yeah, I know.
I know. Bet he'd have some interesting takes.
Yeah, but the boys, they lost by 20 to Nashville, and basically the same score. Magnolia did the same thing to them they did to us, 82-21.
Yeah.
So pretty much the same
Which
thing.
Which tells you it's not us.
No.
It's not me, it's you.
No, that's right. That's exactly right.
I look at the Magnolia coach and say, it's not me, it's you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But anyway, tough week for them. Looking for the girls, of course, they lost to the Scrapperettes 70-34 and then played Magnolia, gave them all they wanted.
Yeah.
59-54. And I
noticed that score as well, which tells me what I've been saying now for a month. Ashdown's getting a lot better. If we had started this season a month ago, Ashdown and they could still, they're like us, they could still play their way into the top four, but I would say that they'd be a lock for the top four if the season started a month ago.
Yeah. And I think, one of the things about this game is all they had to do was shoot their free throws well and they'd have won.
Yeah, that's right.
They shot their free throws very, very, very poorly Friday night. So this week they get the pleasure of going to Camden and then playing Arkadelphia, which not an easy week either. There's not any easy weeks in the 7-4A.
No, there's not. And it's always been that way, but this year it seems particularly hard, especially in the middle. I mean, everybody knows Nashville.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been in two state championships in a row. But the middle, the meat, the sandwich, between the bread of this conference, there's not a lot of difference between two and, say, six.
Yeah.
So any of those games are going to be tough, especially on the road.
And talking about that, and we talked about this some Friday night, not on the air, I don't think, we may have, but at the game Friday night, we talked about this. Not only is it close, but, some of these games, it depends on which referees you get.
It certainly does when you're playing a team that pressures.
Yeah.
Because, there's a lot of contact, and then – there's some contact that seems very obvious that's not called, and then there's a touch foul on the other end, and you can't. I mean, what goes through my mind, and I could be completely wrong about this, because while I've never been a basketball coach, I've never been an official either. but I think makeup call. He's calling that because he didn't call this.
That's the 3 seconds in the lane. That's the go-to makeup call.
Well, like I say, I don't know. I know those guys have a tough job, and I know there's a shortage of them. So I just don't understand. Yeah, I don't have to understand something for it to make sense. I don't want to say that. Well, because there's a lot of things I don't understand.
Yeah, but, nuclear fission. But the thing about it is, and I wasn't saying something bad about that. I'm just saying different referees call differently.
Oh, absolutely.
And so when you if you got some referees that call a game tight, we talked about that Friday night, that if we had had Friday night's referees Thursday night,
it would have made a big difference in the game.
In the girls' game, I think we would have won that game.
Yeah, well, it made a big difference in that ball game because they did call much tighter.
Yeah.
I think that probably bodes better for our girls.
That's right.
A game that's more tightly called. A game where... there's people rolling around on the floor and people are able to push and push and keep hands on people and stuff like that. Does not bode well for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you're right about that.
Yep.
The Horatio State Bank Panther Player of the Week is, no surprise here, Greg, is Kaylee Dancer.
Yeah, Kaylee Dancer. She's amazing.
Yeah.
And she's just a freshman.
She is.
Yeah. So congratulations to her for being the Horatio State Bank Panther Player of the Week. You want to go to the Outlaws now?
Well, since Tuttle's to my left, I think that'd be a good move.
Okay. Well, King Tut, what do you got about the Outlaws this week?
Well, you talk about the big games coming up for everybody this week. It was last week for the Outlaws and the Lady Outlaws. They have two games we'll mention as we wind things up this week that are non-conference games. They finished conference play last week. They started out against Murfreesboro. We'll go with the Lady Outlaws. They had to have wins after dropping one to Caddo Hills the previous week, they had dropped to the four seed going into the district tournament, and they defeated the Murfreesboro girls 47-45 on Tuesday night, and then on Thursday night they played Spring Hill and beat them by 10-39. They're still the four seed and had to have help, and on Friday night the Lady Rattlers beat the Caddo Hills Lady Indians, so they got the help they needed, and they're the three seed. They'll play the Spring Hill Lady Bears first round of the district tournament. Excuse me. Now, the Outlaws, they dropped a game Tuesday night to the boys and on a last-second shot. You know, it was a game winner at the buzzer. If they win that, they're the conference champs all alone, set all alone at the top. But they were sharing the conference championship with Murfreesboro. I was telling Tony before we went on, going into Thursday night's game against Spring Hill, if they beat Spring Hill, they were co-conference champs and the one seed because of tiebreaker. If they lost to Spring Hill, they dropped to the four seed.
Oh, man.
And they got off to a slow start. I mean, I think they were down 18-5 maybe at one point. I think it was 21-8. End of the first quarter, and then Andrew Mack decided we're going to be co-conference champs. Let's go back to the Tuesday night. He scored 11 points and had 15 rebounds against Murfreesboro. They kind of held him in check, you know, on scoring, but like y'all said, those rebounds, that's possessions.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely, and I think a lot of people don't recognize that. I think even coaches sometimes don't recognize that.
Yeah.
So he had 11 and 15 against Murfreesboro, and then to take over the ball game and lead them to the win against Spring Hill, he had 37 points and 18 rebounds.
Oh, my.
He also, Tony mentioned it. Do you have something about it there?
I do. I have an article written about.
You can go ahead there. I mean, that's.
Well, you probably got better eyes than I do, but Andrew Mack went over 1,500 points and 1,000 rebounds for his career in the victory. So he surpasses both in a victory where it sounds like he put the Outlaws on his back and drug them to the finish line.
And, you know, he's got help. I mean, it's not a one-man show. Isaac Hams had a couple of big games. Jordan Hill. I mean, they're playing better as a team right now down the stretch, which is when you want it to all fall together. And for the Lady Outlaws, you know, Sydney Mounts, Riley Simmons, you know, they've moved up the ninth grader, Rayleigh Walston. But Hannah Kirby has stepped in as her role as the post player, and she's been double digits in rebounds the last several ball games too.
Well, I'm going to ask you the dumbest question that's been asked on this podcast in 26 episodes, and that's a high bar. I'm telling you, that is a high bar. Who's your Toad Thumper Outlaw player of the week?
Well, I was originally going to say it's hard to not give it to somebody with 37 points and 18 rebounds. 11 points and 15 rebounds.
And 1,500 points and 1,000 rebounds.
But I was going to say it's the 1,500 and the 1,000 that I believe is going to make Andrew Mack the obvious choice this week.
Andrew Mack, our Toad Thumper Outlaw player of the week. So this week, y'all are playing some non-conference games then?
Kirby Trojans early in the week on Tuesday night, which I'm not sure if that's tonight or not.
Should be.
Yeah, okay. And they were originally scheduled to play Mount Ida. I'm not sure what happened there, but they keep the Mount part, and they're going to a Mountain Pine on Friday. And it's also at home at Derrick. So two non-conference games at home. Kirby Trojans beat them at the Scrapper tournament at Nashville by 20-plus. I mean, so.
Seems like the Outlaws are playing a lot better.
Yeah,
right,
I was
going to
say, it's not the same team. We had a couple of kids missing that day, sick and a few things. And it'll be a good, fun game. Both those teams' fans, they show up. It'll be a good crowd. And
Kirby's,
looking forward to it.
Kirby's girls good, too.
Yes, Lady Outlaws defeated them in at Nashville. But like you say, that's 2 months ago. I mean, none of the teams are the same right now. So,
that's the truth.
Yeah, that's for sure.
As y'all said about the Lady Panthers.
Well, time for the Costot River Eagles, Tony. Eagles sit at 17-8, 8-4 in the conference. Lady Eagles are 18-8, 10-2 in the conference. Girls have been on burning it up.
Well, we've talked about this before. We saw them in the DeQueen tournament. Yeah. We thought, man, they're just not playing as well as we know they could play, especially the way they played when they played us at Causatot. Right.
That's what I was going to say. They've been burning it up ever since they were criticized a little bit.
I think maybe that Greg and I, we probably could take the credit for that. Yeah. We inspired them. Yeah. But both the boys and girls go 2-1 on the week. Girls lose at Cedarville. 38-33. Boys win big, 66-34. Then at home against Boonville, the girls get a close win, 41-38. The boys take an 8-point loss, 57-47. And then,
which is 10 points.
That's right. and then at Danville, the girls, and we were to decide who the Danville girls, what are they? The
Little Johns.
The Little Janes?
The Lady Little Johns.
The Lady Little Johns.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity again, Lady Janes. I like Lady Janes. What do y'all think?
I'm just glad I don't have to say Lady Little Johns on the radio over and over again.
I've been saying Danville a lot. 45-30, the girls win. The boys win 63-54. So both teams go 2-1. According to Scorebook Live, Tuesday they will be at home to Two Rivers and then at Boonville on Friday. Our Union Bank Eagle Player of the Week is going to be Landry Richardson, who's all that in a bag of chips.
Yeah, she's been just doing really excellent inside for the Lady Eagles. And Lady Eagles looking to be in the upper part of their conference.
Well, I mean, by any measure that you gauge success, their basketball program is 35-16 this year and 18-6 in the league. That's a good year.
Oh, yeah.
So
that they sure are. So when you look at them, let's go to the Foreman Gators.
Okay,
talk about the Foreman Gators now. Foreman Gators, they sit at 3-19. They're 0-12 in the conference. Lady Gators are 6-17 and 1-11 in the conference.
Tough week there.
Yeah.
Monday, they lose to Horatio, the girls. And I mean, the score surprised me that it was as close as it was, 57-37. Boys lose 53-26. And then in a rare, you play back-to-back games against the same school, home and away, Caddo. At Caddo, the girls lose 44-32. The boys lose 79-52. And then you host Caddo on Thursday, and the girls lose 56-41, and the boys lose 75-36. And Tuesday, the Gators will be at Emerson.
Okay, and our Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week's Braden Rhodes this week. Congratulations to him for that award, and we appreciate Horatio State Bank for sponsoring the Gator Player of the Week. Back to the Warriors now of Legacy. Legacy Warriors sit at 9-12. They're 3-5, and 17-5 for the Lady Warriors, and 6-1, which Lady Warriors just doing really well. The Lady Eagles did catch up to them in the win column, though.
The Lady Eagles been playing a lot lately.
Yeah, they played a lot
played
more
games last week.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. We talk about the Warriors. I'm going to talk. They didn't play last week,
right?
Due to game cancellations, but still have a Player of the Week for them. And this is going to be more of a Player of the Week due to what he's done overall. But it's going to be Ozzy Tolendano. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Tolendano?
That's the way I said it last week.
Okay. Ozzy Tolendano.
I hope you did.
And you didn't get any emails over it?
No. I did not.
So you said it correct.
So, you know, both the top scorers for the boys in the Warriors are freshmen. Manalo Vasquez is averaging 25, and Duke Gallagher's averaging 17. But Ozzy's really the defensive beast on their team. Takes a lot of charges, does a lot of things. Unfortunately, fouls a little bit too much, so he doesn't get to stay in the games as much. But he's doing better now, and I think that he's going to be a really good player. He's a junior. He's got one more year. He's going to be the Stillwell's Player of the Week for the Legacy Academy Warriors. One thing I want to talk about tonight, last night, Legacy played their last home game, it'll be their final regular season game, and it's going to be against Trinity Christian this week.
They played it last night, and we're not sure who won.
No, not yet.
We'll talk about it next week.
We'll talk about that next week.
If we could get Jeff to bring his time machine in here, we could.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's what got me over here.
Yeah, but one thing that we can talk about is they will be playing in the regional tournament they play in the HCAA, which is the Heartland Christian Athletic Association.
Right.
And they're members of both that and the AAA. And that's what allows them to play, Odin or play other teams that are in AAA and play these other schools. But they begin regional play this Thursday in Hot Springs. The girls will play Christian Ministry Academy, and the boys will play Valley Christian. And each region, there's three tickets out to the state tournament. So the top three in each region go to the state. So that's what they're looking to do now. So
that would be really cool.
Yeah. And if you hadn't seen them play, you missed your opportunity.
Yeah. But, you did.
Yep.
Yeah,
but to
if you
see
had a
them
time
locally.
Machine like Jeff Tubb.
Yeah, to see them locally.
You'd have known.
Yeah. But anyway, congratulations to Ozzy for being the Stillwell's Warrior Player of the Week. And we'll move on now to the Lions and Lady Lions from Horatio.
Lions sit at 8-15 on the year, 3-9 in the league. Lady Lions, 15-7, having a great year, 10-2 in the league. We had Coach Reed with us last week. He talked about that they had already sewed up the 2 seed in the region. So we look at these games Monday and Tuesday. I'm not sure how much incentive the girls had to play. If you have somebody hurt or somebody iffy, you probably elect not to maybe play him as much. They did beat Foreman 57-37 on Monday. The boys won 53-26. And then at Acorn, both teams took a loss. The ladies took a 53-48 loss. And I think Acorn is the number one seed.
They're really good.
Yeah, so that was probably a really good ball game.
Yeah.
Boys lost 44-36. And according to Scorebook Live, they're playing at umpire. Excuse me, they're hosting umpire on Friday. Their region may not start for another week.
That would
explain that. But the Horatio State Bank Lion Player of the Week is Katie Glasgow. She had 29 points in the win against Foreman. So
great.
Yeah.
And so that pretty much covers all the high school athletics. Y'all got anything else, Jeff?
As far as high school?
Yeah.
Well, yes, I do.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, one of my favorite humans on the planet, Perry Bell Nickerson, got a scholarship to play softball for Rich Mountain this past week. She's a pitcher for the Lady Leopards. She's just a junior, and could not happen to a nicer girl, could not happen to a better family, and I just want to congratulate her and her family on that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not necessarily high school, but I'd like to mention that with this being Tuesday, our conference district tournament is going on at Foreman. Both Outlaw teams played last night.
Junior
high.
Yeah.
If they win, the semifinals will be Thursday night at Foreman. If nobody has anything going on, there's some good basketball being played down there this week. So,
Junior girls really good, right?
Yes.
Enthusiastic fans, too, which is sometimes as entertaining.
Yeah.
Can be.
That's right. So you still got – there's plenty of basketball still to be played. You want to see some good basketball, go down to Foreman and watch the junior girls and junior boys of the Outlaws. Anything else
on that? No, just looking forward, talking about Perry Bell and the Lady Leopards and baseball. I mean, I love basketball. I love football. I hate to move on from football. I hate to move on from basketball. But all the sports that we call, I enjoy baseball, softball a lot.
Yeah.
I really do. And I'm not sure why that is, but girls softball for me, I love to call it. I love to watch it. My dad, who had probably only watched a few girls softball games in his entire life, he moves here. And he loves to watch girls softball. It's just a fast-moving game. And so I'm looking forward to calling the Leopards and Lady Leopards.
It's probably that first month of the season when you can get outdoor in a 30-degree weather.
Yeah. I mean, wind's blowing 30 miles an hour.
I'm telling you. Yeah. The worst it's been so far was a couple of years ago up at Malvern. I mean, it was like we were sitting there in the Winter Olympics, and I've got I pulled like the blanket that sits over the back of your SUV, and it's not really a blanket; it's the carpet that stuff sits on. I mean, I've got stuff like that all around me, and man, it was cold.
I told somebody last year at Hope at the Deborah McMaster's Invitational down there. I said, that's as cold as I've ever been calling a game, football or anything. And I'm sure the temperature's been colder in football, but you've usually got at least three walls around you.
Yeah.
Down there, there was nothing but wind.
Yes. And that's that way in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One more high school thought, and if y'all mentioned it last week while I was gone, I didn't catch this, but congratulations to Caleb Blankenship. He was nationally recognized, and he won the Chris Rubio Award as the best long snapper in the country.
That's unbelievable. That's amazing.
In the country. But, you know, he's going on scholarship.
Oh, yeah.
As a long snapper.
And I'm going to tell you what, man. I mean, you don't notice the long snapper until the snap is not good.
That's what I was going to say. Most underappreciated position probably in football.
I would agree.
So, moving on from high school stuff, you want to talk about the Razorbacks for a minute?
I don't know. Do you?
No.
I mean, that's all they've given us is a minute to talk about. I mean, not a lot to say.
I mean, unless you want to talk about innuendo and rumors.
Which about, probably isn't appropriate for this podcast.
No, probably not. They're just falling apart. And again, we've talked.
Much to the delight of Robert Perez.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Robert loves the fact that we lost to LSU by 21.
And it wasn't really that close.
No. No. But what happens is, you know, this is my opinion, and I don't know anything about it. This is what's going to happen with NIL and transfer portal kids. You're going to, even as good as Musselman is at doing that and molding them and making them a team, you're going to miss. And when you miss, you know, then you're going to be like they are this year.
I told somebody before all this started 2 to 3 weeks ago, like we're falling apart, I said, Musselman is one of those recruiters that's going to get us in the one-and-done phase of the game. And, I mean, you take the four kids that are in the NBA right now that were one-and-done and put them on this team.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's going to be – I mean, the team that you see there now, probably there's 13 scholarship players, I guess. Probably 10 of those will be gone next year.
My question would be, you don't build a 20,000-seat basketball arena and give out ungodly NIL money like Arkansas does to do what they're doing. No. How many years in a row can you do that and keep him?
Musselman?
Yeah.
I would think that it's just he is what he is. I think if he leaves,
it's his decision.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever leave. I don't think they'll ever force him out. I mean, and that's – I don't think he'll ever do poorly enough, long enough, that they'll force him out. He may leave due to his own – you know, he thinks he can do better somewhere else.
The fan base might force him out. I mean –
Well, and maybe that's more what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't want to say Arkansas's fan base has unrealistic expectations, but they have unrealistic expectations. you know, football's the prime example.
Well,
they're going to go 8-4, 9-3 every year, and it just doesn't come to fruition. I thought they gave up on Bielema maybe a year too early. You know, and he's went to Illinois, and he's made something out of nothing there. And are they better than they were when Bielema left?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I probably would not go as far as to say he's there as long as he wants to be there if he keeps finishing 12th in the SEC.
Well, but what I'm saying is I don't think he'll do that.
Well, I understand it, but my question was, what if he does?
Well, yeah, obviously, if you keep having losing seasons, yeah, you're not going to stay there. I mean, and that's where he's at now. Highly likely he'll have a losing season.
Right, but definitely in the conference.
Yes, definitely in the conference. But I think you got to look at what he did. You know, he's been to two Elite Eights and one
Sweet Sixteen
last 3 years. Yeah. What I'm basing that on is what I see at Kentucky with Calipari. Now, little different situation, but he basically did the same thing. You know, he was in the Final Four, in the Final Eight, in the Sweet 16 every year after year, and then all of a sudden for 2 or 3 years, even though he was getting 5 McDonald's All-Americans together, he was like third in the conference or
Those 5 All-Americans still have to be able to play together.
That's right. You know? And I think that's what's happening here. What I've likened it to is like hiring a mercenary army. You know, you're eventually going to find some that are just in it for themselves or just in it for the money.
If you dip in the transport portal long enough, you're going to get a team full of them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you know, I think that one thing that Coach Cal, where they're and him and Mus are different, is Kentucky can't fire Coach Cal. His contract won't allow it. I mean, he's got all the chips over on his side of the table in his deal with Kentucky.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that to me is a little bit of a difference. But now I think Mus has done a good job, and I would probably never move on from him either. But I think that there is a I don't know how many, you know, what'll it end up being 15 and 15 seasons this fan base will endure.
Not many.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say 2 and they'd be wanting rid of him.
Yeah.
If they do what they did this year, next year, they'll be screaming for his head.
They'd be wanting John Pelford.
No, they won't. they will. That's one thing they'll never want. I can tell you
Stan
this.
Stan Heath.
Nobody's going to call for John Pelfrey or Chad Morris ever. Ever. Ever.
Well, somebody in Conference USA hired Chad Morris as like their quarterback.
I saw that.
Is it North Texas maybe?
I'm not sure.
I thought it was Texas State, but I could be wrong.
Those aren't the same schools?
No.
Hey, I'm going to come over there, man, and you and I are going to get after it because those are – Marshall was in Conference USA, and now they're in the Sun Belt. Those are Conference USA Sun Belt schools, and I love those schools.
No, North Texas is the one that beat the dog out of us. the last time we played.
And then Marshall beat him a couple weeks later, which – I mean,
I'm still thinking about Chad Morris and John Pelfrey.
Arkansas's not their favorite team, but I can't tell you that I didn't get a little bit of pleasure out of that.
You know what? I'm still thinking about Chad Morris and John Pelfrey. Those were great hires the day we hired them. They didn't last long.
They make it look great. I mean, here's the deal with me is it's just like.
Let me tell you what, as bad as I think firing Bielema was, that made it look a lot worse.
Oh yeah,
a lot worse. Yes.
Well, and I think one of the things about when you look at those things, it's all about perception at that time. You know, it's just like, why do you think they hired Bobby Petrino?
Yeah.
Now here's my opinion.
You're exactly right.
One is it immediately took the focus off the season they just had.
Yes.
And put a different focus on it.
Wag the dog.
Yeah. Secondly, they couldn't find another offensive coordinator.
Did you like that hire, Bobby Petrino?
No. I think he is somebody that will gut the program if he has the opportunity.
I think he'll step on anybody he has to do it.
And now,
he's proven that over and over again.
See, I said, and I don't think he is – I don't know that I should be judging people on what we're doing, but
well, did you hear what I just
said? I think he has poor character. I also told somebody when the hire was made, they said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Well, he served his time for what he done."
Yeah.
If they feel like bringing him back, I'm okay with it. But like y'all said, Where's it going to lead to?
Do you remember what
future?
He did to the Atlanta Falcons when he took the Arkansas job?
Yeah.
I mean, this is not just a one-time thing.
Yeah. So. Well, and the thing about it is, and my second point was, they got, you know, now they could have went and hired somebody from, you know, some 28-year-old offensive coordinator that may have been better. But what my point is that I think there's not any offensive coordinator that they would have wanted that would have satisfied the fan base that was willing to come here for basically is what's going to be 1 year.
Well,
because if they have another year like they had last year, they're going to get rid of it. They're going to clean house.
And if they go 10-2, he's gone too.
Yeah.
So, and I think you're right. I think, you know, the average fan would not take the time to research maybe the up-and-comer who might be better than Petrino. They just know the name Bobby Petrino. They know that they won while he was here, and they think, well, that, you know, and that's
and you know
that,
his,
that's the splash hire, so to say.
Yeah. His success at Louisville was based on the fact that he has the current NFL MVP quarterback in for him there.
I mean. Sure. But you got to get him there, too. You know, that's part of it.
Yeah.
But moving on, I think we've destroyed the Hogs enough.
And they're well, hired.
I'm just saying, and I love Coach Muss, and Arkansas is my third favorite team, football, basketball, all of it.
Who's the second?
Whoever's playing West Virginia.
Oh, okay.
I even knew the answer to that one, Greg.
I just wanted him to say it.
Oh, okay.
But Bobby Huggins is available.
So, yeah.
Bob Huggins is available.
Is he out of jail?
Weight. He looks good. I'm telling you. There's a big movement in the West Virginia fan base to bring him back.
Really?
Yeah. We're very forgiving people.
He's not talking about him. wants him to bring him back.
But here's how fanboy I am. You know, we have the oldest coach in the NCAA in Dan D'Antoni. He's 76 years old. He likes to call himself the most experienced, but he's the oldest. And if Marshall would move on from him this year, and they're 12-12 and like fifth or sixth in the Sun Belt, and I hear that they're talking to Bobby Huggins. Guess what? I'm more excited than I am disgusted.
Yeah. He's a good coach.
Absolutely, he's a good coach, yeah. Which goes to, you know,
yeah.
There's a balance, and there is. And a lot of it is whether the Jur team or not,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, just being flat out honest.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, we can't get into character issues on coaches, or we'd never get off of this podcast.
No. No, that's exactly.
Tyler would be really upset.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's talk about picks.
Let's do that.
Yeah, okay. And the only thing we're going to do is make our Super Bowl pick.
We're not going to talk about King Tut destroying
us? No, we're not.
All right.
I don't want to hear anything about that.
Okay.
I heard y'all talk about, you know, before we do that, though, there's one thing I want to talk about. Because last week, y'all ridiculed me for being a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Without
me
different from any other week?
Without me being here. Without me being here, though, that's
would that
how
have made
it
any
different.
Difference?
Yeah, it would have made a difference because. But all I'm going to tell you is jealousy. That's all it is. Y'all can say you can say whatever you want to say. It's jealousy.
If
I mean, you want to
helps you sleep well at night.
Hey,
you go ahead.
And you go ahead and look at the last 20 years and see where Dallas was, see where Pittsburgh was, see where Green Bay was over 20 years. They're within 5 wins of each other.
Have you researched that?
No. But I'm just telling you. I don't research.
Nobody's won more games in the last 20 years than the Steelers.
So I'll
research to see if they were within 5 wins of the Steelers.
So you don't research anything; you just say it and then leave it up to somebody else to prove you wrong.
Well,
I like that method.
Stay tuned next week because in episode 27, Tony will tell you how many wins the Cowboys had in the last 20 years and how many the Steelers.
You know, I don't like to
you know what happens? You know what happens?
Packers for me too.
I'm going to sit over here next week too, and Tony, when you start talking about that, go ahead.
He's going to push the button. Greg's at the master control.
That's right.
He is Mr. Sulu today.
I'm in control.
The Enterprise
now.
Is flying apart.
But anyway.
She don't got any more, Captain.
We're giving her all she's got. But anyway, I appreciate y'all being so nice to me while I was gone.
We love you, man.
I know. but anyway, back to the picks. You've got the stats, so I would love for you to tell us what the stats are in the pro picks.
Well, I don't know the wins and losses, but I do know he's two games ahead of you.
Yeah.
And you're two games ahead of me.
Yeah.
So I'm 3 of 3, which means I'm buying lunch.
Okay. So there's really no reason for us to pick.
Well, I mean, just to talk about the game, maybe.
Yeah. Well,
I told Greg earlier today, I said, you know, all this stuff about Taylor Swift, she does a lot of good in the world, by the way, a lot of good in the world. And I think that if I would love that she'd be dating, you know, Pat Freiermuth, who's the Steelers tight end, for people who don't know. But I figured that he played for Penn State. But I'd wake up today and I find out, and this is hypothetical, that Pat Freiermuth is probably dating like Melissa McCarthy. You know, that would be the Steelers' answer to Taylor Swift dating Travis Kelce.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But, well, you know, and the thing about it is, I mean, the deal is Travis Kelce was a good tight end before he ever got hooked up with Taylor Swift. Now, does that bring added revenue to the Kansas City Chiefs organization?
Apparently so.
Yeah, like to the tune of about $350 million
absolutely.
So far.
Yeah.
And it'll get more.
If they win the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, it'll be crazy, won't it?
It will.
And
which they're going to. Oh, I thought we were already getting into our picks.
You want to go ahead and make your pick?
Album of the year on the Grammys, Taylor Swift. Team of the year in the NFL, Travis Kelce.
He really thinks this stuff through.
Yeah, I know.
Now, we've accused him of using a time machine to make these picks, but maybe he's thinking some of it through as well. Well,
actually, I just came up with that one while we were sitting here talking.
I think he probably does, too. I'm going with Kansas City, too, because mainly because EO gave me a hard time on the radio also while I wasn't here.
Well, you know, one thing we talked about last week was the 49ers have been lucky to win their last two ball games.
Yep.
Chiefs are clicking.
Yeah.
Well, this could easily be the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs if Dan Campbell had any faith in his field goal kicker or didn't think he had to go through every fourth and two or fourth and three because that's who I am.
Yeah. I don't
understand. Hire an offensive coordinator.
I don't understand it either.
Well, there's a difference.
And the thing is, I'm not second guessing him. I'm screaming at my TV, kick the field goal, kick the field goal. And
think about the people that had money on the game. You think you were screaming at your TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the thing about that is that this is what I thought when he was doing that. You're in the playoffs.
Yes.
You know, you lose one game, you know, you do what you get, and we can talk about whether it was right or wrong, but he could have kicked the extra point against the Cowboys, and they probably would have won that game in overtime.
Yes.
And he chose to keep going for two.
Yeah.
And so we can say it was right or wrong. I'm not arguing that point at all. I'm just saying he could have.
And he's a really good football player.
Yeah, well, he is, but there's that game only made one game difference. It didn't really matter that much. But when you're in the playoffs and it's one and done, you got to get every point you can get when you can get them.
Like I said that last week.
Yes.
As the head coach, you have to adapt to the situation.
That's right.
I don't care if that's what you've done all season long.
Yeah.
You went from tying the game to being down 10 points.
That's right.
I mean,
that's
yeah.
Right.
And people will say, well, the 49ers went right down the field. Maybe they don't. If you inspire your team by tying the ball game, maybe the 49ers don't go right down the field. One play changes the rest of the game.
Well, but inspired their team by not making it.
That's exactly right.
But even if they did still go right down the field, you've tied it up, you're down 7.
Right.
They got it back and went down the field and scored again.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
the Lions outplayed the 49ers for a fair part of that ball game. I'd say the majority of the ball game.
Yeah.
So, for totally selfish reasons, for totally self-serving reasons, I'm rooting for the Chiefs because I don't want the 49ers to get their 6th Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, we're all picking Kansas City, I guess.
Okay. Well, and you know, I just think they're.
I'm an AFC guy too.
Yeah. Well, I just think they're playing so well right now, and you know, I mean, Greenlaw is on the San Francisco 49ers, starting linebacker. He played at Arkansas. Great linebacker at Arkansas. Good linebacker in the NFL. And you know, if the San Francisco 49ers were to win, it wouldn't bother me, but. I love to watch I love to watch the Kansas City Chiefs play, and I think Patrick Mahomes, one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah. You know, they asked it on Get Up this morning. They were asking who are the best five Super Bowl quarterbacks of all time. And all those guys were already putting Mahomes in those in the top five Super Bowl quarterbacks.
Can we guess at some of the others?
Sure.
You want to guess?
I guess I
got three guesses right now. But
well, one of them's going to be Tom Brady.
Correct.
He wasn't even one of mine.
Yeah,
that's Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, yes. That's going to be one.
Joe Montana.
Yes.
Yep.
Who was my other one? I had another one. I don't know, but I mean, that's four of the five, so.
That's four of the five. That's correct.
Well, it may be. They never give Steve Young credit, so it probably wasn't him.
It wasn't him.
No. And I wouldn't think it'd be Roger Staubach.
Roger Staubach.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, Troy Aikman was my other guess, as a matter of fact.
Well, I thought about Troy Aikman, too. You know, to me, and y'all know I'm not a Cowboys fan, but to me, Troy Aikman doesn't get enough credit for how good he was.
Yeah.
And I mean this in the most Jesus Christian way possible. There are winners and losers in this world. And for whatever reason, that's just the way it is. Troy Aikman's a winner.
Oh, yeah.
Terry Bradshaw, although his numbers are not, you know, gaudy like some of these other guys, he's a winner.
That's right.
You know, there's a current NFL quarterback I've said that about since he came out of college. And he hadn't got – I mean, he's been bounced around, but I've said the same thing about Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
He's a winner. You put him on the field, and he wins.
I'll tell you what, yeah. I take Baker Mayfield ahead of the three quarterbacks the Steelers have right now. I'm like Stephen A. Smith. When he said the Steelers quarterback situation is so bad, I pray for Kirk Cousins.
But the Cowboys, Troy Aikman, you're a Cowboys fan, and I'll give you this. He's underrated because of everything that surrounded him.
Well, yeah,
they had so many weapons.
Yeah. Bradshaw, too. Everybody says, well, he had Lynn Swann, he had John Stallworth, he had Franco Harris. And
Rocky
and maybe,
Blyer.
Absolutely. But then they talk about everything that was around Bradshaw and maybe the best defense in history. Then they don't give Chuck Noll any credit for being the best coach. In a day before there were general managers, Chuck Noll drafted all these guys.
Yeah.
He drafted four Hall of Famers in one draft in 1974. I mean, so Chuck Noll's not the best coach of all time, or at least in the
running?
He's got to
be in the running.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get it.
Speaking of Rocky Blyer, Steelers fan. Anybody that hadn't seen the movie about him, and I can't think of the name of the movie, you need to research it and watch that movie. Yep. Great movie.
He's a great guy, great man. So,
well, you know what we can do now?
What can we do?
We can head out of here and eat lunch.
That's exactly.
Y'all ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, this has been the 26th episode of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.